Look, up on the slopes. What is that? Well, it looks like a pair of cross-country skiers going downhill. No, it must be some alpine skiers with broken bindings. Wait, on closer inspection, it's...
those telly guys.
Good evening, folks. It's Rich here from Those Telly Guys, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Morgan Clark. And Morgs, I have got every finger and toe crossed because it's snowing up on the hills, and I hope it continues over the weekend.
Yeah, good call, Rich, and good evening to yourself as well. I just looked at the step count on my Suunto watch, which records my activity data throughout each day that I wear it, and I'd clocked up over 14,000 steps a day, and I think partially I could bring that down to the amount of snow dancing that I've been doing over the last few days here down in the foothills of Victoria's high country, waiting for it to snow after the absolute hubbub we had in the last couple of weeks with pouring rain and horrendously warm temperatures for this time of year, given that, you know, it's only, gosh, we're only not halfway through our winter, maybe a little bit past the hump. It's hard to believe.
Yes, I mean, these conditions aren't unusual, but they are for August. We definitely see them at the end of September and start winding down, and it feels like we should be doing so already. Do I put the summer wax on now? That's the question, Morgs, or do I hold out for potentially more snow? What should I do?
The optimist in me says that you should hold out for more snow, Rich. But, I mean, like you say, they're not unusual conditions, but they've certainly come about 7 weeks too early, I think, 7 or 8 weeks too early. It's remarkable that it's happened in the first few days of August. But like you said, it has been raining today, which has buoyed the enthusiasm and the hopes and dreams of the fair Telemark skiers out there from across the lands that we can rally again and return to the mountains to free thy heel.
And we shall. Nothing will really dampen our spirits that much. We'll ski on anything, won't we? And I certainly did that the other day, skiing across Heathy and out to Nelse to do some stuff with work. And yeah, it was a lot of grass skiing, put it that way. But it's just amazing in the last 2 weeks, because just prior to that, you know, I went out to Toowonga Hut and it was full coverage 2 weeks ago. And then a week ago, we went out to Fitzy's Hut across the High Plains and there was still enough snow and getting patchy. And wow, someone just really turned the heater on and see you later, alligator. Very, very tricky to get that base back. But fingers crossed, as I said at the start of the episode, let's just pray for more snow and continue getting that pace count up as you dance, or as I frantically pace the house up and down the hallway, looking at the weather, looking at the temperature, what's happening up there. I haven't slept in 2 weeks.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, like you say, the temperature, you know, just... You know, before we move on to this week's episode, it was 21 degrees Celsius in the new money down in my hometown, or not hometown, down in my town here in the northeast of Victoria on Friday. So that was when a lot of the rain came as well, in that sort of 48-hour period. So that just shows you how unseasonably warm it was for, you know, what should be really almost the middle of our winter. And speaking of being in the middle of our winter, Rich, we're going to be doing a mid-season review, if you will, and I know you will, in this here episode.
We are, but we're going to tie off some loose ends first, some things we'd like to touch on before getting to the mid-season review. And these are just some things that we've talked about in previous episodes, and the fair listener out there might be saying, hey, wait, you guys might not have thought about this. So we just thought we'd touch on something, particularly in relation to boots, Morgs, because we talked about boots in the Boot Banter episode a few weeks ago, and we were more kind of expressing our own experiences, I guess, reflecting on our own experiences, if you will, about the boots that we have used. So we didn't really comment on one boot that does exist. We were talking about, obviously, the Kenai in relation to being a great two-buckle light NTN boot, and why doesn't have a tech toe, and, you know, Scarpa really needs to make a boot that's got a tech toe and three buckles for the NTN skiers. But, of course, Crispy in the corner of the room going, guys, I'm right here. Because there is, of course, the Crispy Shiver, Morgs, isn't there, that has three buckles, is supposed to be a lighter weight boot. and apparently a softer flex, which I've read.
Yeah, you're right, Rich. You're absolutely right. The crispy shiver. And this is one for those people out there that did listen to our interview with JT Robinson. I believe he mentioned the crispy shiver as often his boot of choice for when he's using particularly his volley pattern-based skis with the TTS transit binding. And I'm actually just looking at a little bit of a bio here for the crispy shiver on telemarkpyrenees.com. And there's some interesting points here. So it says that it's designed for NTN bindings and NTN two-pin bindings, such as the Major on the Link. So they are putting their money where their mouth is and saying that it's designed for touring rather than for use with a 22 Designs Outlaw or a Rotofella Freeride or something like that. It has Dynafit inserts both at the boot, toe and heel, so it can be used with the Alpine heel unit that you can use with the Majo binding. Still, interestingly though, I hadn't seen this before on any bio or anything by Crispy, but they do say, please note, the NTN boot sole specifications are not exactly the same for Crispy and Scarpa boots. And the distance between the pins and the second heel on the Crispy boots designed for the size small binding is about 2 millimeters shorter than the equivalent distance for the Scarpa boot. So I'd never actually read Crispy's own confession of their horrendous mistake there. But so there you go. It says, we therefore do not recommend using Crispy boots with the size small major bindings. It doesn't say anything about any other bindings, but very interesting.
Yeah, so yeah, that is something I've read in the past, and yeah, it's nice that they fess up to that. And again, we've touched on this. It doesn't say anything about large boots being affected, but you clearly experienced that with the Outlaw, but as I said earlier as well, others have not. So maybe just an anomaly for your purchase, I'm not sure, but yeah, it is a bit unusual. Yeah. And yeah, this Crispy boot's meant to have a softer bellow, I've read, or maybe a bit softer, but I've read some other stuff on the forums as well of people suggesting that even though they do say that, the sole of the boot is actually quite stiff still. But anyway, It's one of those things I'd love to try eventually, because I just want to try that TTS binding, the TTS transit. I want to get it out of bounds. So if I find a pair of shivers online, I'll probably jump at them and get out after
it. And I mean, softer, like you say, it's probably a softer bellow when you compare it to other Crispy boots. But we've talked about this before, that the Crispy bellow is so different to the bellows that you see on Scarpa or Garmont boots, or Scott rather. And they're just so stiff. They're so hard to press. Like I know, you know, when you just kind of muck it around weighing the lift line or standing there, putting your skins on or something, and you press your bellows forward, particularly when you're doing a hard turn or something, you can generally compress the bellow almost all the way in boots that are sort of well worn in, but not with the Crispy boots. They hardly move at all. It's just a totally, it's almost like a completely different design or a completely different type of plastic.
You know, speaking of smooth flex, I've skied the Targa on the weekend just for fun again, and that reminded me of just how smooth that is, for sure. So much freedom.
Maybe too smooth.
It was good. I felt like a ballerina on skis. But anyway, moving on, it's another thing out there we should touch on and remind our listeners that our T-shirts are still out there. It's something that we don't really promote that much, but you can continue to buy the T-shirts at thosetellyguys.tshirts.net.au. And you should jump on, grab one, and that money will go towards keeping the show going. So thanks for those that have. And yeah, we've made a few people happy, I hope, with some of the designs out there. So continue on with that, everyone. Thanks very much. And Morgs, one other very exciting thing. Stickers are arriving soon. The shipment has come in.
Fantastic. Does this mean we'll finally be able to hold up our end of the bargain for the famous Snickers and stickers package that we promised some poor listener back in season one, Rich?
It is, yeah. Some brilliant listener that guessed, I think, the heel throw of a axle snapping onto a boot. Yeah. If I'm correct, they won the Snickers and Stickers pack for the Mystery Sounds of Telemark, which we'll have to bring back again.
We'll have to bring it back now that we have stickers.
Yes. So, yeah, prize packs can be sent out. But we'll try and find that comment on Instagram and make sure they get their Snickers and Stickers. Maybe even a T-shirt for waiting for so long. Anyway, the only other thing I want to say, Morgs, it's been brilliant getting everyone's emails and messages on Instagram and messages to the phone. So please keep writing in, everyone. We love hearing about what you're doing and getting your feedback on the show and even ideas of what we're going to do. Really appreciate that. So right into thosetellyguys@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, we would, Rich. Now, we should, I guess, before we get into the mid-season review, and this is probably going to be part of the mid-season review, but we'll have, hopefully, we can have a Bogan bulletin this week, Rich.
Yes, it has been erased from many of our recordings just because of time, which is sad because we talked about so many fun things, but we are going to incorporate the Bogan bulletin into this week's topic, which is the mid-season review, because we're talking about so much weather. So it's a Bogan bulletin weather edition.
This is the Bogan bulletin.
So, Rich, the huge, slowly moving high pressure system has dominated the last week's weather. We've seen rain, strong winds, and high temperatures have been providing the perfect conditions to melt snow, followed by, after that, some very clear and sunny days, which have made for some fantastic alpine scenery and very balmy weather for people to get out and about in, but definitely not ideal for the longevity of our season.
No, and as we've already commented on earlier, how quickly it's disappeared, and we had a great time on the weekend skiing on Sunday. We ran into Faye again, who we met at the Backcountry Festival last year and had a great time skiing around. So, you know, everyone's enthusiasm was quite high, but just looking across around you, 360 degrees, just so many slopes, just bare bones, nothing there.
Yep.
So, yeah, nice that the snow will be topping it up this week, but yeah, very sad. And I actually got an exclusive interview with the Snow Bay Smorgs before we left that day. Just wandered over with the microphone and just checked in with the Snow Bays to see how it's going. We might throw to that now. Alrighty, I'm down here with the Snow Bays. Snow Bays, congratulations on making it this far in the season despite the lackluster conditions you've been experiencing recently. So kudos to you, well done.
Thank you very much.
Look, Snow Bays, I brought a couple of beers here just to celebrate how well you've done so far. So here you go, and oh, sorry, clumsy me, just might have spilled a little bit on you there.
You cursed rat! Look what you've done!
Oh, sorry.
I'm
Whoa, Morgs, crikey. Not too happy about the current conditions, the old Snow Bays.
No, and I think that's also reflected at another ski resort, which we have been dying to get to. And I think we've brought this up again in the bulletin because it's been cut from probably the last 2 or 3 weeks' episodes. But poor little Selwyn Snowfields, which has had a rough enough time as it is, has unfortunately had to close this season. I did see some images from within their resort, and it was pretty grim viewing.
It's an absolute murder scene up there. I'm looking at those images now, just some, yeah, sad skiers walking around.
Sad skiers? I don't even know about that. It looked like there was about a frisbee-sized patch of snow on the grass, and that was about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what a turn of events, because, you know, just in June, after, I guess, opening weekend, we got that big dump, and I'm just looking at a little photo here of them celebrating the snow back at Selwyn. And of course, they opened again after those bushfires that destroyed the resort. They're at a lower elevation than many of the other resorts in Australia, so they don't fare well in conditions like this. Yeah, so hopefully they can make some snow and get something open, maybe even for snow play, because, you know, there's a big market for that, and people just love getting up to the snow. And I'm sure there's many locals that will support them if that was to occur. But feelings out there for you, Mount Selwyn. Maybe next year we'll get there to finally see what you're delivering as a product for Australian skiers. But yeah, not this season, unfortunately. But it's not just them that are struggling, hey, Morgs. Like, we're lucky up here at Falls that we've got so many southern aspects, and they are definitely holding on a lot more. Southern aspects that are complemented by snowmaking, which is proving to be a worthwhile investment for the resorts. And Hotham is, you know, doing okay as well. Obviously, a few more northern aspects there. So,
yeah, most of Hotham faces to the north. Yeah, and it is a real shame because, as we often mention, Rich, springtime is really the best time to be getting away from the resorts. And unfortunately, It's not really possible with the current snow conditions, not really able to go anywhere other than where they've been making snow, or like you say, the snow sort of been holding up in the shade or on the south-facing slopes.
Like Mount Nels had plenty on it, and we skied it the other day, and that's, yeah, you know, you're just going to have to walk, I guess, to those aspects and lap, I suppose. It's not the first time we've experienced this in seasons gone by, that we had to walk to aspects and get some turns in. I remember a few years ago, Cairn Gully was the only thing that was holding snow reasonably well. So it was just walking up Eskdale Spur and lapping that all day and then going home. So we'll make the best of any situation. There'll still be skiing in spring. It'll just be a bit more on the foot falcons.
Yes, very good.
But crazy weather experience, not just here, also in South America, more than the Andes. Would you believe 37 degrees?
I wouldn't believe that. Yeah.
From scarves to shorts, South America sees record high temperatures in the dead of winter. They're struggling probably more than we are at the moment with record high temperatures. Just for the first time in 72 years, I'm reading that they've reached, you know, 37 degrees or 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And yeah, they're really struggling there. So it's a bit of a worry. And, you know, obviously everyone's pointing the finger at things like climate change, which I guess for the non-believers is getting harder and harder to deny.
Yeah. It's these sort of, I guess, unusual or massive, what would have been previously huge anomaly type weather events that are becoming more and more common, that are really the hallmarks of what a lot of people accept now as global warming or climate change or anthropogenic climate change, so human caused or human impacted. It's deeply worrying and deeply unsettling, I think, from an environmental perspective and also just from any perspective. You never like to hear that. And it's just crazy because, like I said, it is extremely difficult to believe. I don't know exactly the type of place in South America that would have got 37 degrees during winter, but it's kind of like imagining, you know, try to imagine the weather in Melbourne or Sydney or something like that being that warm during this time of year. I know we have other parts of Australia, like way up north, closer to the equator, that don't really see the extreme winters that we do down south, but it blows the mind.
It does blow the mind. And there's a quote here from a climate change expert in this article that I'm reading, saying, "We have been experiencing quite summery days for September. Since 2010, the region, particularly Chile, no longer has four distinct seasons, but rather a winter and a long summer with very short autumns and springs."
Spring is a lovely time to be out and about, so it's a shame that that's the case down there as well. Now, I see you've got written here that China has been experiencing some floods. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, just on the back of this strange weather in South America, Beijing has experienced huge floods that have obviously taken its toll on the residents of China, with unfortunately many deaths. But yeah, just massive floods. I don't know if you saw that in the news, Morgs, but again, quite strange. And, you know, they obviously experience typhoons and stuff like that. The high volume of water is something that's completely unprecedented for them at the moment. And not overly skiing related, but just an interesting tidbit to throw in there that this sort of stuff's just occurring all over the world at the moment. And it's quite concerning.
Yes. And we're actually going to be changing the name of this podcast to Those Meteorology Guys, aren't we, Rich?
That's right. And let's go to Canada now, where bushfires continue to ravage Alberta, which is true. We've also experienced huge bushfires.
Deeply concerning as well. But on a positive note, Rich, New Zealand has finally got their season going after the bleakest of Junes and Julys that they'd sort of experienced over there. It looks like they copped half a meter or so and really got the juices flowing.
Yeah, I've been messaging our good friend Sven, who's over there as a ski patroller, and he's saying they've had one of the worst starts ever. But we have, as you note, in recent times seen a huge amount of snow dump across the Canterbury region, and hopefully that continued across the southern island of New Zealand and potentially up north too for those skiers on Mount Ruapehu, which is New Zealand's largest commercial ski field, Morgs. And hopefully they're getting an after it as well. But yeah, great news to see. And great news to see some of those club fields that I have visited getting out and about after it. Broken River is one of my favorites. And Apparently, they've got a Telemark week happening right now, Morgs, which is pretty cool. A lot of skiers, freehill skiers, might add, getting to Broken River to celebrate all things Telemark, which is pretty cool.
Yes, as they should. And I'm sure the horn of Boromir would have been sounding loudly. From the hills there at Broken River, and you'd been sending me content on Facebook or Instagram that Broken River had posted, and it was really making me jealous. So not exactly what I needed, but it definitely helped me get through the working week. So thanks for that, Rich. And also a bit closer to home, it finally snowed again today down here in Australia. Everyone is losing their minds. What's it like down there at Ground Zero, Rich?
Oh, it's nice and cold here in town. So, yes, as we made comments on earlier, it's nice to have snow again and everyone's super excited here. Social media has absolutely blown up. Everyone's very excited that we've got snow again. The Cedarwood balcony is just being posted all across the internet and lots of centimetres being found on chairs and tables and things like that around resorts. So very exciting, Morgs. And you yourself were saying before the show that you were a bit worried that if you didn't wake up to this media frenzy and there was nothing, that you'd expect it that it might have rained.
That's right. When I woke up this morning, Rich, it was hosing down with rain. And now I live about 2 hours drive away from Falls Creek and Mount Hotham. And I was thinking it would certainly be either raining or snowing up there. And I wasn't quite sure how cold it was, but I waited with bated breath by the phone to see, because I was sure that if it was raining, the resorts wouldn't post anything. But if it was snowing, I could bet my bottom dollar that they were going to be posting straight away.
And sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
5 centimetres they woke up to this morning, which now North American and Japanese friends and indeed Europe would probably laugh at, but
yeah, five centimetres in Australia is about the equivalent of 2 feet in Canada or something, I think. It's in terms of level of stoke. But yes, we should, Rich, get into the mid-season review. So here we are in the second week, or the first full week of August, I suppose, reviewing our season, as we are, hopefully we're only halfway through.
And as you say, only in the middle, we've got to the end of September, and maybe those telly guys will have to have a sabbatical or something if the snow doesn't improve.
Yeah.
But look, it is what it is, and as I said earlier, we're making the most of it. But we've already talked about the weather, obviously. Let's talk about our skiing. Have we enjoyed our skiing so far? And we're going to look at maybe resort skiing, backcountry, side country, parental skiing. Let's start with resort though, Morgs. How have we fared in the resort? Has it been a good time?
It has been a good time, and I've been rather one-paced this season. I've only skied in Falls Creek, and I've pretty much only done I'm sorry to say, I haven't really done any backcountry skiing. I've done a bit of, maybe backcountry, side country, you might call it. But yes, mainly in terms of the resort skiing, it's just been, a bit of frolicking around with the wifey and a lot of hard charging as well, making the most of it and keeping the legs warmed up while I can.
Yeah. And, you did get out to Mount Mackay, give yourself some credit there, a bit of side country, got the skins out, went into the Rocky Knobs. And had a play around in there. That was a great day just to change it up, I suppose, and get out of the resort. But, yeah, it has been a lot of resort skiing, I suppose, at this point in time, because the weather windows have just been quite funny in terms of weekends. So resorts kind of been the fair pick. And of course, snow conditions too. Like, we had some brilliant sunny days there, but for a long time it was just rock hard after those really clear nights, really cold nights that just made the base about as solid as Uluru, I would imagine. Like, it's it would have been pretty ordinary in the backcountry anyway.
Yeah, and here we are complaining about the weather and the snow conditions again. But yes, you're right. It seemed like when there was good weather and when there was plenty of snow in the backcountry, it was just absolutely boilerplate. And then when the weather's turned nice, it's just all disappeared. It's all melted. It's all been washed away in the rain. We can't catch a break in 2023, unfortunately.
Yes, but the resort skiing has been fun, and you obviously reference the Horn of Boromir being played at or being sounded at
a broken river,
But we certainly had the horn of Boromir here before we sent it over to our New Zealand friends to gather the Telemark troops. And there's been some great freehill skiing get-togethers with people that we've just met. And it's been lovely to see people just get stoked, and good to see that the recognition of another Telemark skier is still respected, and it's just assumed that you're going to have a chat or share a chair, which is just fantastic. So
yeah, it is good. Yep. But what about yourself? So, you know, you've obviously done a bit of resort skiing, Rich, but tell us about your backcountry ventures this year so far.
Well, lucky enough to sneak out to Johnson's for a couple of nights with some friends from uni. And I think we might have got the pick of the conditions. It was fresh snow. And while it was hard to get up high onto Nels, for example, to chase after those steeper lines, it was nice just being in the trees there and getting that fresh snow. It was really lovely. And I just went out to Johnson's Hut with work. And yeah, it's surrounded by grass at the moment. There's not a skerrick of snow touching the hut. And while there's snow kind of close to it, it's all very patchy. So I'm really glad I went out in July and got some fresh turns in some low angle stuff. So that was good. But other than that, like, it's been some side country stuff, like the pattern based skis have really paid off this season by just being able to go and throw a line in the Rocky Knobs and catch a few fresh turns. That's been really nice. And I've done that, I don't know, 3 or 4 weekends on a Sunday when we had that really nice sunny weather, just to duck out once it softened up and get a few laps in there to break up the monotony of the resort. So that's been awesome. And I really can't complain, especially as a daddy now. I mean, I only have to do a couple of runs in the side country there to kind of make me feel quite warm and fuzzy. I feel fulfilled.
And speaking of such things, Rich, you mentioned just before a bit of parental skiing. Tell us about, that's also, I guess, and this can be a segue into new equipment that you've bought after this as well, but you have gotten yourself a little something to tow the young fella around in.
Yeah, we've touched on the Chariot in previous episodes, but it is awesome. And I can only encourage any new parent out there that loves skiing, chase one of these down if you can, because it's just unreal to share that experience with my wife, Nicole, who's recovering from ankle surgery. So she's just going to be on the Nordic trails this year, or what's left of them. But while we did have good cover, it was just nice to drag Arthur out, and he had a little nap in there, and Nicole and I could enjoy the scenery. Yeah, super nice just to load some drink bottles in there and a few snacks and just enjoy the high country as a family. So yeah, I'm really glad we got that thing, and it's just been a great experience, and looking forward to the next few years in that space. Maybe he can drag me along next year.
Yes, and you would have been glad that you had me, who came to the rescue just like almost in King Arthur style, to as he plucked the sword from the stone to pluck the wheel from the chariot that you couldn't remove.
It has wheels that obviously attach. You can use it for your bike. And one of them had seized due to so much grease and gunk that was in there from, I guess, the previous 10 years, because it's an old one that we brought secondhand. But yes, you did manage to pry it off, which is much appreciated.
Yeah, I think I got lucky. Or maybe the WD-40 that you applied hours earlier had loosened it off for me. But anyway, I'll take the credit. Now, we're going to talk about any equipment musings from this year so far, Rich. So how has our gear performed this season? I guess we could talk about skis first. Have you, I suppose, as you said just moments ago, the Ultra Vectors, they were new to you last season. So how are you feeling on them now after 1.5 seasons?
Actually, I've had them for, this is my third season with them.
Oh, I've had 30, them for a few years. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can't fault them. They've been awesome. Yeah. I love them, and they're definitely my favorite ski at the moment. And I've only skied probably have one set, but the Ultra Vectors, the Anams, which is the ski I use for work to cruise out to various high country huts, and the Supernaturals. They're the three that I've kind of been rotating through, all for different purposes, which is good, I think. So I don't know if I believe in one ski to rule them all. I definitely think having a good quiver like Legolas does, he just doesn't have one arrow in there, it'd kind of be useless. There's different sort of orcs out there, and there's different kind of conditions that I like to use different skis for. And backcountry is that pattern-based Ultra Vector, love it. it's great for that. And obviously resort skiing, something a little bit heavier. But I have skied the Ultra Vector BC version in the resort, and it's held up pretty well, to be honest. Yeah, still pretty burly to tackle most conditions. So really can't fault it. But what about yourself, Morgs? You've also got a pair of Volley skis that you got late last season, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. The Volley V6s without the pattern base on them, and they ski, I'd say they perform very well all round in all conditions. Like they don't ski excellently in any conditions, I don't think. But yeah, they're quite good all round. They're quite light compared to, I guess, your typical resort ski. Typical resort skis are pretty heavy, and Volley, they gear their manufacturing towards backcountry stuff, so they make them lighter. I initially thought you might notice that a bit in the resort, and I think maybe when you're steering them through crappy snow, you might notice that having a lighter ski is a little bit less than ideal. But other than that, I think, you know, being able to ski on them all day, your legs don't get as tired because they're a bit lighter. You know, that sounds like a bit of a silly thing to say, but I think it is partially true. But otherwise, they're really a fantastic Australian conditioned ski, the V6. They're about 100 underfoot. They're 183 centimetres long. They're really good.
Excellent. Yeah, and you do look like you're having a great time on them. And just awesome colours, hey? Like we had one Chile Fried where I had my green Ultra Vectors, your red V6s, Lucas had his blue V6s with the pattern base on them. So we had a full complement of Volley skis out on the lift. So again, if you're listening, Volley, just waiting for that sponsorship. But anyway, let's
just need to get a set of the Mantis, which are yellow.
I would love to get a set of the Aces, which is the a new Aces, ski that made.
Yeah, okay. Yep, that'll be interesting to see what they're all about. And I do agree. The Volley, they are really a really good looking ski. They're totally different. They're totally unconventional in terms of the graphics that they put up on the top sheets of their skis. Like normally you see skis and they'll just have like weird random drawings or slogans like "to hell and back." But the Volley, it's just so simple, so basic. It's just one color with like a little bit pixelated and then just the words Volley. It's just so simple, but it looks so clean, looks nice.
Solid, simple backcountry.
Yeah, boots, Rich. Now, this year I've, you know, just to keep up the thing of just buying more and more boots, managed to find myself some Scarpa TX Comps, as the listeners would know. Absolute bargain, secondhand, hardly been used. And yeah, they've just been fantastic. Can't fault them. They're probably a few seasons old because they're the yellow ones rather than the current black and yellow ones, or ones that are sort of majority black with a bit of yellow on them. Really loving them. Ski really well. Like much more comfortable with the tongue liner compared to the crispy boots with the wraparound liner. Just solid, reliable so far, and really good to ski in.
Yeah, awesome. And obviously we won't delve into many of our other boots that we might own because we touched on that a few episodes ago. But Morgs, the catch of the day for me.
Darcy Bros, the catch of the day.
Yes, now you've just reeled this one in recently, haven't you, Rich?
I have. And a few weeks ago I did allude to maybe finding something on Gumtree because my very nice energies, a Garmont energy that I've used for a few years now, probably I think since 2016, I think. It's been absolutely smashing the resort and about time it probably broke. But I went on to Gumtree and what did I see? A pair of red energies looking at me. So messaged the fella. He was coming through town yesterday. He said he would bring them with him. And what a Cinderella moment it was. He pulled them out. It's exactly the same size and in pristine condition. And the liners just have not been broken in at all. Just super firm, super snug. It's going to be a great boot for me to continue using in the next few years. 75 milliamp dead. What do you say to that old boy?
I say that, yeah, you've done really well, and it's uncanny how you keep sniffing out these bargains, Rich. And like you said, yeah, they're in, as you put it, better condition than the ones that you previously found were in. And you've gotten so much wear out of that last pair. So hopefully, yeah, you can use the previous pair for spare parts, buckles, tongues, liners, other things like that. And you can ski these ones for hopefully several years to come, which will, yeah, just be really good and keep you off the anti-end stuff for many suns and moons to come.
Many suns and moons. Yes, yeah. We are getting quite poetic now. But, yeah, super happy with that. And as I said earlier, I would love to try some of the NTN gear that does look interesting to me, such as the TTS Transit and a boot. I wish a boot existed, Morgs, with a three-buckle NTN boot with a tech toe. If when they come out with a boot like that, I'll probably buy it, you know.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, bindings, obviously, I'm not going to waffle on about this too much, but for me, nothing has changed in that space. The axle is a binding that I continue to use and love. It's been awesome. Over the years, I've had to change out parts that have broken, but they're easily acquired through 22 Designs. They've sent a bunch of stuff over to me pretty easily if I make a big order. The shipping's not too bad. Absolutely love it. We'll continue to ski it. No dramas there. The other binding that I do love is the one I use for work, which is the Vole Switchback. And that's a super light, great touring binding, and you can still throw down some turns. Much like the Targa, that's what it kind of feels like to me. So I don't mind stepping back in time and getting a little bit more freedom in that regard. And I already said earlier how much fun it was using the Targa again on the weekend. So good for the skiing technique too, to make sure that I'm using my skill rather than relying on the gear when I'm stepping back in time, so to speak.
Yeah, well said, mate. And yes, you did just donate me an old pair of Targas that you rustled out of the shed when I was at your place on Sunday. So very generous of you, and what a great find. And I'll put them to good use, as I did just break some of my Targas when trying to readjust the bindings, ready for a school trip coming up.
I think I watched a video from maybe Josh Madsen about maintenance with the binding. I think that's pretty common after a few years of not being used, or I guess he used them last year, but
I've used them every year.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's this thing over time where that spring in there can get rusted. And yeah, I think he was suggesting lubricating it, maybe even with WD-40 or some other. Well, obviously WD-40 is more of a cleaning thing, but you know, some sort of lubricant to. Prevent that from happening. But I just never even thought of that, to be honest, because the Target is just like super solid and reliable. But as you say, you have used them for a while, I guess.
Yeah, they have seen some days, the old G3 Targas on my pattern-based cross-country skis. And hopefully now that I'll be up, it's actually quite nifty how the binding assembly comes apart, and you sort of take this little sort of plastic cover off, and then you take the binding is actually mounted onto like a plastic base plate, which is then mounted onto the ski, I guess in a similar but not quite the same fashion to the Rotofella Freeride, how you mount the plastic bit on the ski and then slide the binding onto that. This one, you actually just sit the binding onto the plastic part and then put the four Posi drive screws in. But when you take that out, it means you can take the entire cable out, which loops around the front, similar to quite a few other Telemark bindings with a cable. So hopefully I'll be able to replace that, no worries.
Super handy. Yeah. You can see why people love them. Like, that is a super easy binding to replace out in the backcountry. And of course, I mean the cable, not the whole binding. Yeah. But like, if you had one of those small Posi drivers, you could easily take that off and stick a new cable in if you were carrying it. So yeah, for all the Targa lovers out there, I feel your pain that's no longer made. I think but having said that, I know Bluebird Equipment, owned by Freehill Life, did make a run of G3 cables, I think early this year, or maybe their last season, for any Targa lovers out there. And I think he sold out. So
yeah, I was going to say they are sold out, because I looked when I broke that cable. I thought, oh, maybe Freehill Life would have some, as you suggested to me. But yeah, you're right, they did sell out. So it was obviously popular, because, I mean, gosh, there would be Targas, it would be a dime a dozen. There'd be so many of them out there around the world.
Yeah, and I've heard this a few times from, I guess, some agitated NTN skiers that love the new gear but are a bit peeved by things breaking, and they've often referenced their Targas and say stuff like, no problems in 20 years with the Targa, and this NTN binding, so many problems in 20 runs. So
Yeah, well, I mean, problems, but then I'm sure many other people would have had problems with Targa bindings. But like you say, if something happened, and particularly Telemark skiers like to get out in the backcountry, something happens, it breaks, you whip off the plastic cover, you put a new cable in, you probably fix it in about 10 minutes, and then you back off skiing again, not to worry. And then you go home and you order some new spare parts to stock you up for next time. Whereas, you know, I imagine, you know, my new favorite binding to ski is the 22 Designs Outlaw, but I think, gosh, I suppose you could get spare cam parts, so the little orange part that flicks up around the second heel. But gosh, I would need to take a bit more of a closer look at the binding and see, you know, there's flex plates, there's all sorts of things you would need to replace there. There's springs, there's lots of different things going on in there, a lot of different moving parts in NTN bindings.
It's like in Star Trek or Star Wars when they need something to happen to keep the plot going, and they say on their super fancy spaceship that, you know, the flux capacitor is broken, or, you know, the hyperdrive is malfunctioning. Like, these words mean nothing to me in regards to the spaceship. And when people talk about NTN bindings break and they're like, you know, the cam or the flex plate, the cam's gone, it might as well be a spaceship from a made-up movie. I've got no idea what they're talking about. And that's what confuses me with NTN about being, I guess, reliable in the backcountry. It's something that I would be a bit iffy about. But I tell you what, that TTS Transit looks simple, and that's something that is appealing to me.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. But I guess I'll just have to stock up on T14 hyperdrive parts for NTN going into the backcountry in the future. That's just a reference to the Phantom Menace there for anyone out there listening in. And also, I guess, just to touch on that, I think really, you know, as much as I do love the 22 Designs Outlaw binding, I think I need to go and do a degree in theoretical physics to work out how the cam actually attaches to the duck butt, because it just seems like witchcraft to me.
Witchcraft and, yeah, as you say, some sort of serious engineering that has gone in behind that. And well done, by the way. I think we've mentioned this in the past. I think it's really good that a lot of skiers out there are quite welcoming to the fact that stuff is breaking, and companies are happy to replace those parts and helping them discover what they can improve on, I suppose. And you just got to imagine in 5 years how, I guess, solid most of those bindings are going to be when, I guess, many of these issues are alleviated. So exciting times, I suppose. But anyway, Morgs, events. We should touch on some of that. We had the events episode, what feels like an eternity ago, but it wasn't. It was only 10 or so episodes ago, and mentioned a few things. I was up at Hotham on the weekend, or on Monday, sorry, and geez, the biathlons are looking a bit grim, but I'll tell you what, they're still running. The Army had a biathlon where they just ran instead of skied. So there you go. But I know the other ones are coming up in a few weeks' time, and gosh, I think they might be doing the same thing.
I guess you know, it's a fitness event. You know, it's a test of skill, and fair enough that people still want to get out there and get out and do their thing and shoot some targets as well, or whatever they do in biathlons. Now, Rich, what can you tell us? Or you probably can't break super secret news, but I wonder what is going to happen with the ye olde kangaroo hop at later this month.
Yes, my lips are meant to be sealed, so I shall not flap them too much in this segment here. But, yeah, obviously the hoppet will not be running inside the national park with such low snow at this point in time. And, look, stranger things have happened. Maybe we will get a huge dump and it can be back on again. But at this point in time, they're coming up with another solution, probably within the resort or somewhere like that, so, which has happened before. It's not the first time they have had to run a short course in the resort, so they will be well equipped at doing that. But it's the only World Loppet race, Morgs, that has never been cancelled. Can you believe that?
I can believe that. Yeah, it's
It does sound like an amazing stat, and yeah, it is, but I can believe it. I think, yeah, Australia, it's normally pretty reliable for some sort of snow or...
Yeah, pretty interesting, I reckon. And of course, over COVID, it didn't run, but that's obviously because of COVID. So excuse those years. But any year they've actually said we're going to have a race, they've managed to do it. So hopefully they can line all the little ducks up and get something going. Now, the only other event I want to touch on, Morgs, is the Backcountry Festival and I guess our involvement with that.
Yes, we do have some exciting news in this space. We'd been liaising with our friend Anne, who was one of the primary organisers for the Backcountry Festival in 2022, and she was just helping out around the sidelines a little bit this year, I think, and she'd suggested to us that maybe we could get involved in a number of ways, but we do have other commitments and things on that weekend, so it looks like we might have something teed up for the Friday night. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, and speaking of little ducks lining up, hopefully that happened to the Backcountry Festival and we're able to get into the Biathlon Club down there at Whiskey Flat and record a episode in there as the festivities kick off for the Backcountry Festival 2023.
Yeah, so it's sounding like, is there going to be some sort of opening party or something down there on the Friday night, or like a bit of an opening night?
Yes, Morg. So I believe they're having a launch party down there, which will be mostly outside, I think, maybe with a few fire pits and things like that. Everyone just celebrating the Backcountry Festival and getting together again, which would be the second time since COVID or post-COVID to run the Backcountry Festival and get everyone together. So that'd be fantastic. And yeah, we might be able to get inside there and maybe even sing a few songs. Can't commit to that at the moment because I don't know if we'll be able to remember all our songs off the top of our heads. But
I reckon we could do a bit of rehearsing. But yeah, that sounds like a good idea, Rich.
Yeah, I reckon it does. So keen to have a beer that night for anyone that's going to be there. Well, Morgs, it's been great to have a season review and really appreciate having a good few laps with you this season. It's been lovely having you closer to the mountains, living in the Northeast. It's just a hop, skip and a jump for you now, and it's been lovely.
Yeah, it's been really good. And oh gosh, don't wax lyrical too much there, Rich, because you're making it sound like it's all over. I'm keeping my fingers crossed and my skis unsummer waxed, ready to go at a moment's notice to be back up there, freeing the heel with you again sometime in the not too distant future. But it's bye for now.
It is, Morgs. We'll catch you later, everyone, and see you on the slopes.
Those Telly Guys hope you have enjoyed this program. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch at thosetellyguys@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe for more fun episodes. Otherwise, you can find us on Instagram. Thank you.